Welcome to the Black Sheep Believers podcast. Hi, I'm Jess.
And I'm Alicia.
Have you ever felt like you didn't belong?
A misfit, outcast?
Too loud, or even like a black sheep? Us too.
Yep. Black Sheep Believers is a podcast of honest conversations for those seeking, questioning, and deepening their relationship with Jesus.
So let's have the hard but real conversations around feeling misunderstood and misplaced, but feeling fully accepted by the God that created us. Welcome home, Black Sheep.
Well, welcome, everybody.
Welcome. Episode one.
Can you believe it?
Here we go.
We're actually recording a dang podcast right now.
I need to do that for a second.
Let's just sit in that.
It's been a minute to get here, but it's also felt like a second. And
real.
I think the big thing is just actually doing it. It's just one thing to have it on your heart.
Yes.
Think about it. Talk about it.
Right.
Everybody loves to talk about it.
Right. And everybody says, like, let's just do a podcast.
Yeah. Should totally do a podcast.
Yeah.
We were at a coffee shop earlier today and we were talking about how God's like, move the mountain. And you're like, yeah, I'm going to move the mountain. And then you wake up and you're like, what's the shovel?
Wait.
God's like,
said
the mountain, the shovel. Put two and two together.
Actually means that it's going to take work and that there's going to be specs.
Yeah.
And I also think that the last few weeks in preparation for us hitting record have been decisively hard in some like pseudo spiritual ways.
Oh,
and I think it's because of the nature of what we really want this podcast to emulate, what message we want for people to hear when they listen to this or watch this podcast. And yeah, I think the Lord is spiritually preparing us to really minister to people. And that's our heart and our posture. And so welcome. Welcome all.
Welcome
who that choose to listen to us. And hopefully our very crazy chats,
because
they're going to be crazy. Our very crazy chats minister to you, hopefully.
Well, and I think that that is kind of what we wanted to welcome here, as we wanted to welcome hard conversations. I know that for me, especially being relatively new in my walk with Christ, I've been really lucky, and the Lord's been really thoughtful to put a lot of people in my path that aren't scared of questions.
Right.
And I know not everybody has that readily available to them when they come to Christ. Like, I literally felt like I was like, all right, I'm in. And he was like, boom, here's an army. And I was like, yeah. Like, literally, it was like all set in place. And it's one of like the biggest gifts that he's given me.
Right.
And when I started this, and then after I met you, I was like, I want to take these conversations and I want to share them with someone who may not have that support group.
Ooh.
May not have that courage.
That's right.
Because like courage and faith literally walk hand in hand, especially for me being a new believer. Like some days I was just like, so I'm a Jesus freak now and these are my Jesus freak friends and we're going to have Jesus conversations. And, you know, so I think for me, and you can totally elaborate on this, I've kind of felt like a black sheep in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
I have been of the world most of my life.
That's right.
So now coming into this walk with Christ, it's this feeling of, well, I don't fit into that anymore, but I don't know if I fit into this anymore. And it's this weird in between. And it kind of, it made me feel like an outcast sometimes. But then also it made me feel really excited when I would meet others that were kind of in the same space.
Yeah, so true. Yeah, and your conversion story, I'm so excited to get to. Conversion being the day that you decided to follow Jesus and to...
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, conversion.
Oh.
I love that. And I love that I slowed down enough to describe what that is.
Yes.
Conversion... is
so it's not your testimony.
It could, I mean, that's another
It's thing. Part of your testimony.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the day is...
Conversion to convert, you know, because people convert from one religion to another, and it usually is a decisive redirection.
Love okay. that.
And some people convert through a ceremony, and some people convert through an internal change of opinion, a change of paradigm. Yeah, your conversion story, the actual event, because there was an event.
Yeah.
Some of it was gradual, but some that there was a rad, very rad event that happened to you that caused you to turn away from the worldview, the paradigm, the opinions that you once had. And now you have a completely different set of vantage points in which you live. It's really rad. I can identify with being a black sheep in several ways, but the most decisive one is that I grew up in a spiritually divided home where being a Christian was frowned upon. So I grew up in a home where mom attended church and came to Jesus after my parents had gotten married, but that change didn't necessarily impact anybody else in our family. So she took us to church, but my dad was really resistant to church. And I'll go into that at some point. But
testimonies are.
Yeah, they're coming.
They're on the way. Episode 2-3.
But I felt like a black sheep because I chose Jesus in my home.
Mm.
And that looked different. Like my set of values were different. My priorities were certainly not what was happening in my home. And then I went into ministry, which means that I worked at a church, and usually people who do things on behalf of their faith, specifically the Christian faith, they call that occupation ministry. And some people would say, well, ministry is how you, you know, evangelize to the world. And so your ministry could be at your secular job, your secular being, you know, your job that isn't a part of the church. We also are going to be really conscious of the language around Christianity because we really care very deeply about people who are not a part of the church. And we want for those that come and listen to our story and hear our conversations that don't have any background with the Bible, with church, with religion, with Jesus, to understand what we're saying. So anyway, so I went into a career where I was on staff at a church, and I will refer to that often as ministry. But I worked at a church for 14 years, and then I left the church. I left working for the church, and now I attend just as anybody would in, you know, whatever job you have. On the weekends, me and my husband, we go and we serve at a church. But I'm an ex-pastor. And I have no idea.
What's that joke?
An ex-pastor and an ex-agnostic walk into a podcast.
That's what we did.
Yeah. If that does not scream, where do either of you belong?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what would. So we really resonated with feeling like misfits.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a deeper meaning to black sheep.
Oh, yeah. And I feel like there's so much proof of that throughout scripture. I never cared about sheep a day in my life until I started reading the Bible.
Right.
And then it was weird. I was like, you know, of course, one of the first things you hear, like, he leaves the 99 to get the one. And you're like, I'm the one. And like, you know, that's such a comforting feeling, especially when you're coming from, in my case, and I know a lot of people can resonate with this, you're coming from a world where you don't really feel super worthy.
Right.
You've never felt really accepted. You've had to earn, like, all of your love. I come from a background of like very, very much like conditional love.
Yeah.
And so for me, like that was always super strong when I would hear the stories from the Bible about Jesus being a shepherd and Jesus and the sheep, because I was like, he just said that one.
Right.
That's so comforting when you haven't had that most of your life. But so I started getting into this weird, I'm a rabbit hole. She knows it. Like, I go into weird rabbit holes. We'll share some of them. It'll get a little awkward, but it's fine. It's all in good time. So I went in this rabbit hole basically when I started reading scripture, where I just wanted to read anything I could about sheep because I was just obsessed with sheep. So I went into this rabbit hole. I do that from time to time.
Yeah, you do.
Basically trying to find all the scripture I could about, you know, Jesus being the shepherd of his sheep and all those things. And I found a really cool scripture that I want to share. Also, I'm going to bring out my computer here because I have not memorized scripture. I'm not there yet. That's fine. I also think that was something that was really intimidating when I came in.
Yeah.
So I was meeting people who I'm like, they know so much like scripture. It's just all in their head. They can't. And I'm finding that it's okay to just say, I don't have that memorized yet, but I remember that story. I remember that thing. And I think it's really good to give yourself permission to not, but seriously, Jess, like I literally thought, okay, before I was a believer, I thought every single person who went to church had read the Bible front to back.
Wow.
I thought everybody knew scripture. I thought like everybody knew every single story in the Bible. I'm learning. not really the case, but for me, that's something that I really want to work on this year is I've been studying scripture and I want to really try to memorize.
Yeah.
To be able to share when I can in just really small pieces. But it's intimidating. It's a lot.
It's a big book. I would also say just to slow down enough, because scripture could be a word that is generally assumed, like a general assumption that scripture means something.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture is just another word for the words within the Bible.
I like that.
That's just another way to describe the same thing. And so much of Bible lingo and Christian lingo is having multiple ways because we want to be eloquent in how we talk.
Oh, yeah.
We have a lot of synonyms up in this.
Yeah.
We've got a lot of words that kind of mean the same thing.
Yeah.
So in this case, scripture and the Bible, same. The words in the Bible are considered scripture. They're sacred.
I love that.
Yep. Okay. So, and also it's a very big book and memorizing it would take a really, really long time. Like, the only one that I know is, like, from Denzel Washington's movie, The Book of Eli. It's the only person that I know that's, like, totally memorized it. That and another guy that I'm going to, like, highly endorse in future podcast episodes, but that's going to be a cliffhanger for another day. Genesis 30.
30:32.
That's right. Tell me about it.
Okay, so Jacob speaks about breeding of sheep and the significance of their colors and how he will separate out the black lambs of the flock. And it says, let me pass through all your flock today, removing it from every speckled and spotted among the goats, and they shall be my wages. So basically what he was doing is he was making a deal with his father-in-law. Is it Laban? Laban?
Laban.
Laban. Okay. Essentially saying that his payment will be based on the animals with distinctive markings so that in the future he would be able to see proof by the animals that this deal was made with honesty.
Sure.
And I think this is really significant because a lot of times we view the distinctive things about us as being an outcast, as being a misfit, as being judged by the flock. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. But it reveals in that scripture to me that black sheep, they cannot hide who they are.
Whoa.
And because they cannot hide who they are,
yeah,
there is a level of trust with the truth that God delivers to you. Because not only does he know you can't hide, he also knows that the truth that he gives to you,
right,
is going to be received different because you might have been judged by the flock.
Wow. It's actually because of the way in which you've been judged, you've got a way of communicating God's love, mm-hmm, unique to your story.
Absolutely.
And in a way that somebody somewhere needs to hear it.
Yes.
That is so baller. That's so good. I would also say, just to clarify, with this situation with Jacob has to make some payment to his father-in-law. It was ancient custom for a husband who wants to marry a wife,
mm-hmm,
to give some sort of, you know, sacrifice to the family in the same way. You know, in other cultures, there's like endowments that the husband inherits from the family. So there's a lot of exchanges between guy coming into this new family,
mm-hmm,
what he has the right to gain from the family and what the family then has the right to gain from him. So that's kind of the context of why Jacob would need some sort of flock, whatever. The other really cool thing within the Bible is all of the people that God had set aside for his purposes generally came from generations of shepherds. Like, that was the trade, the most common trade of these, this very small minority people group. And they stood out no matter how much they wanted. First, because God set them aside, and also because this was a relatively poor means of living. Like, shepherding was not a very glamorous trade back then and even now. And so the Israelites had this like dual black sheepness about them. You know, God chose all of these crazy black sheep.
And also argue like the disciples.
Totally.
Like the original black sheep.
The 12 that Jesus was like, hey, I'm going to do a bunch of stuff here on this earth. I'm going to pick you out of the margins, of the sidelines, of the, I am going to pick as many black sheep as I possibly can. Firstly, because I want for people to see the stark contrast between who they were and what transformation looks like in them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people want, he wanted to show how radical he is capable of transforming a human heart. But the other really cool thing about it is that they are the most relatable. They're like such relatable people. They're just fishermen. They're just tax collectors, right? Like, these people that God picks are just average. They're totally average. And then he elevates them to whatever purpose that he has for them. So anyway, I love that story. I love how often sheep are used in it. And there's a really cool, you're going to explain it for us, but there's a really cool connection back specifically to black sheep. The metaphor obviously is universally known as people who are on the fringes, people who don't usually fit whatever current mold, or, you know, they don't usually fit in some way, or they feel misplaced in some way. But you learn some really cool stuff even about sheep beyond what you learned in the Bible. What can you tell us about that?
Well, yeah, back to my sheep research. This is 37. For like my young girlies, like, it gets so weird.
Yeah,
it's so
weird.
Fun. Between sourdough and sheep, my day is, it's packed. It's packed heavy. Cool thing about sheep, right? Especially specifically black sheep. All right. Mm-hmm. So genetically, it does not matter if a white sheep is crossed with a black sheep, like, whatever. Genetically, like, it will be a black sheep. And I know, in my experience, and a lot of people that I've spoken with just sharing their testimonies and their walk, or even people who are maybe on the outside, a little curious,
yeah,
about
Jesus. Curious.
A light bulb that kind of goes off is that we really think that we are who we are because of what we've experienced in our life. Absolutely true.
Yeah.
But with that being said, it's not, I think, society has kind of formed this thing around us that makes us think that that's not powerful. Like, makes us think that because genetically what we're predisposed to, that's how we're going to be. Like, and we won't get into generational curses, and we won't get into all of that coming. But really, I think why I resonate with that is because genetically, in quotations, I'm not supposed to be here.
Me neither.
Right?
Right.
I am the black sheep genetically, but there's no way I was supposed to be redeemed. There's no way that this was supposed to, all these things that I consider flaws about myself, was God supposed to be able to make into a gift?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So I resonate with that. And then I think the coolest thing about sheep, which I really hope I get to say that again. The coolest thing about sheep is that of all the anti-venoms that are made in the world, the number one thing that is most useful in terms of like what they give people when they're actually bitten by a snake is sheep's blood. It's anti-venom pulled from sheep's blood.
Stupid.
Creation.
Creation story. For those of you that do not know the creation story, it was a snake, the enemy, the devil, again, interchangeable terms for the same dude, the devil shows up in the story as a serpent, or, you know, it's most commonly known that he was a snake.
Mm-hmm.
And he tempted Eve. She took a bite of some really yummy fruit, handed it to her husband. He ate it. That is how sin entered the world. And that was part of the creation story. Jesus, one of his many names, because he has many names, just like we have nicknames, he has nicknames. One of Jesus's nicknames is the Son of God,
mm-hmm.
or the Lamb of God.
Mm.
And Jesus is described in scripture as both the lion and the Lion of Judah, the Lamb of God, right? And he refers to himself, even in some of the stories where he uses parables or, you know, metaphors to describe some of his things. He refers to himself as a shepherd, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who will leave, and you already brought it up, but who will leave the 99. There are 99, 100 sheep, and 99 stay with them, and one goes. He says that he will go to the one to rescue them. He will go to the very farthest from where you are.
Yeah.
From where he is to rescue you. It's so powerful. It's so beautiful. And you told me this when we were trying to decide about how we were going to name the podcast and why you really wanted to consider Black Sheep, is that you really think that when he was doing that parable in front of all those people, he pointed to a flock of sheep that were already there and he pointed to the black one. And I was just like,
not biblical, but I'm just saying.
Alicia's translation. This is Alicia. Alicia's translation of it.
You know I love a dramatic take.
I love a good dramatic take. And clearly Jesus did too, because his metaphors were like out there, you know?
Well, and I think that's what these conversations can do. And I hope what this community can be is realize that there's a lot of us. There is so many of us that don't feel like we fit in.
Right.
There's so many of us who don't feel like we're conventional, or that we fit into this box. There's way more of us than we think.
Yeah.
And I hope, and I've really been so intentional that this space is a space that's created for everyone.
Sorry.
Whether you have to like stop and pick up your notes and be like, what was that scripture? Oh my gosh. When we were planning one of our episodes, I looked at Jess and I was like, what's that Samaritan lady with the well?
Nope. You called her like a Slytherin lady. Like you told them you didn't say Samaritan, because that would have been correct.
Yes. Well, okay.
You said like Samarian.
Samaritan.
Samaritan.
Yeah.
Was it Samaritan? The Samaritan woman?
Yeah.
And I laughed real hard. And I was just like, oh my gosh, you sweet fair baby. I love you so much.
But like, how would we know?
Exactly.
Right? And with anyone else, I might have been like, oh, man, that was like so dumb. I can't believe but because of you, one, I learned how to correctly say it.
Yeah, you're welcome. Samaritan.
Samaritan. Secondly, even though it was something we could laugh at,
mm-hmm.
it gave me encouragement
right.
to ask another question in case that came up. And so same thing. What I want this space to be, ask those questions.
That's right.
No one sounds silly.
No, it's so silly. And I want also for Jesus talks about Jesus, to not be a barrier to somebody experiencing Jesus.
Hmm.
So
break that down.
Yeah. So if you get really, if you really nerd out on something, you end up talking in a way that's not relatable to anybody else. Pick any single topic. I'll give you an example. Here's an example for y'all. I watch these girls put on makeup, the Get Ready With Me, and they spit out the names of all these products. I have no idea what they're saying. It literally sounds like they are talking gibberish when they just like rattle off these products. I just use, you know, all this product from this one person. And I'm like, I don't see the label. I don't know the name.
I'm still using an Urban Decay palette from 2006.
I don't know what Urban Decay is. That is my point.
I guarantee you probably had one.
Okay, but here's the point. The point I'm making is when you get really heavy involved into a thing, you end up using language that seems common and normal to you, and it's not. If you sit down with your spouse, you know, your partner, and your partner is talking about an interest that they have, their woodworking, sports team and they start really getting into it, or even just like most of your girlfriend's jobs, like when they start talking about their job, you're like, what does that mean?
We've been friends for 10 years and I don't know what you do.
I don't know what you do. It's because when you start talking about it, I have no freaking idea what those words mean.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens all the time in every area, but especially with Jesus, because we have so many other words to describe something that aren't used in normal day casual conversation. And my hope is that regardless of where you are, regardless of where you feel like you fit on the spiritual continuum, that we describe things as simple as possible. Not because we hope that you are dumb, because you're not dumb. You're really smart. You were able to find a podcast today. Good for you. What I also know, though, is that there are words and things that the Bible uses and that people say that are really connected to the Bible that doesn't make sense to the average person. So we hope to really break those down. And I hope that you saw that today.
Yeah.
But the type of people that we hope will be curious about this podcast, will find themselves gravitating toward it, is people on the spectrum of their spiritual experience. You might have had a season where you knew Jesus and you really felt like you experienced him in a deep way. And it felt very internal. It felt very, very tangible to you. But somebody might have hurt you. Or maybe a whole group of people just totally jacked up what his message said. They say they believed in what you believe. But they did not represent what you believed in a way that was edifying to you, that was beneficial to you. And it broke your heart. And there's a whole mess of people and people that I care very deeply about that are completely what we would call internally in the Christian space, we would call that deconstructing, right? Like they are literally eroding their paradigm around Jesus, the Bible, God, creation, anything tied to Christian religion, they're really starting to decouple from or disassociate from. And the language around it in this current social spectrum is that they're deconstructing. There are people who have literally never heard the name of Jesus before.
Yeah. And I love that you can speak on that deconstructing.
Yeah.
Because I feel like people who are almost reconstructing,
right?
You're kind of meeting in the middle. Even though it's a totally different space.
That's right. 100%. And there are going to be people that are going to be reconstructing. They've kind of, yeah, decoupled, I guess is the word that I've used in my own experience with church and with the Bible. I've had to decouple with some things that I believed, some values and interpretations even of the Bible that I've had to decouple from so that I can understand it better, more close to its original intent, specifically with the Bible, but also I've had to reconstruct some of the ways that I interact with Jesus now that I don't work at a church anymore. And there's a whole audience of people that decided, I still feel pretty tied to this Jesus thing. Everyone that claims to love the Jesus that I know, that part, I'm not quite ready to reintegrate with.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really struggling to attend a church. I love Jesus. I sometimes read his Bible, but going to church, not my vibe right now. I don't like people who go to church, or I don't like what's talked about at church, or I don't like how I feel when I go to church. And so there's a whole mess of people that would consider themselves a black sheep because they believe in God, aren't attending a church. And then there are people like Alicia who... And, you know, in future episodes, you'll be able to hear more about your story, but you were anti-Jesus.
Oh, I think now I can look back and I was anti-religion.
Right.
I had not done the actual work to understand the difference between religion and Jesus of the Bible.
Ooh.
Hadn't done that. Right. Hadn't made that connection. And how could I?
Yeah.
Because... almost always, especially like when you are outside of Christian faith or really any faith, all you can go off of and all you really remember is a negative experience.
Right.
You don't remember those like positive experiences. And now being on the other side, I remember judging Christian people very hard.
Yeah.
I don't remember tons of Christian people judging me. This side, the seat's way hotter. Way hotter.
Mm.
But in my mind, because it's also what had the narrative that had been fed to me, which is Christians, believers, all they do is shove their beliefs down your throat and in your face. All they do is pass judgment. All they do is represent this fake, unattainable life. And I was just like, oof, I don't want anything to do with that. There was literally a point in my time where even just the word Jesus would like send me packing.
Yeah.
But then what happened and ruined my whole plan is I met a group of believers that didn't make me feel any of those things. And then I was like, well, what am I going to do now? They just love me and they just accept me. And I'm sure in the background, they were like praying their little butts off. Right. But in that moment, I felt nothing but love. And what I was feeling was God's presence. I had never felt God's presence.
Right.
So I think that is something also that happens is you think you're being resistant to something without even understanding what that something is.
Right.
And that's what it was for me for majority of my life.
Yeah.
So I can relate to you. Church is still kind of weird for me. I'm not gonna lie. The first time I went to church, I actually saw you that day.
I was over the top. Was like, oh,
okay. Let me tell you this story because this is also why I fell in love with her.
Oh gosh.
Is so my other friend, I call her up and this is like, we've been friends for a year or so. And I finally was like, hey, I might go to church. And I was like, but like, don't make a big deal out of it. And she's like, oh, yeah, cool. She was completely silent the entire time. I know she like gets down in worship, but because I was next to her, she was being like so sweet about it. She was just like, be cool, you know, be cool. Meanwhile, I am freaking out inside because one, I'm like, I'm in a church. Then worship starts. Every song is like, the blood of Jesus, the blood. I'm like, what is with the blood? There's so much blood.
It's a very gory song.
Now that I understand it, I'm like, blood of Jesus.
Right.
When you don't
it's good.
Have any idea to the lingo, any idea to the context, I was just like, this is a lot. So I'm like, whoo, finally made it through. Actually kind of enjoyed it, but I was like, this is still really weird to be in a church. Everyone had been so cool until I saw Jess.
Right here, babe.
And she like screams at the top of her lungs and runs up and she's like, and I'm like, but I got home that day and I remember being like, that was so great because sometimes as believers, we are so scared to scare anyone off.
That's right.
That we forget to be genuine and we forget to like be like God's joy. You were that joy that day.
I seriously felt like I was the heaven version of the party that was happening because of your parts. I seriously felt that I jumped completely out of my skin. This is another reason why I feel so black sheepish is because I cannot turn it off. I cannot turn that obnoxious enthusiasm off when it's really appropriate for me to.
But thank goodness
that day.
But like, thank goodness.
Right.
Like, thank you.
You're welcome.
Like, thank you for that. And thank you for showing up and being genuine.
Yeah, maybe.
And not like, not keeping it cool.
Right.
Thank you for that. And because, you know, I attend church sometimes. I attend a house church sometimes. Like, I try to let the Lord lead me where I need to worship at that time. And, you know, I'm still working out what is worship. What is my church? What is all those things? And I think from the experience that I've talked to with you and a lot of other people, like it's an ebb and flow thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yes, church is very important, but how you church, that's a really great conversation to have.
Yeah, it's so great. We will. That conversation will happen.
Yeah.
I will also add to, like, I totally welcome. We want for other people who feel the way that we do, passionate about Jesus and specifically the Jesus of the Bible, not a Jesus that conforms to our culture, but a Jesus that radically opposes lots of things within the culture that we feel like is pointing us towards a life of peace and a life of love and a life of acceptance. And at the same time, there's a lot of things happening within at least the Church of the West that are just growing pains.
So Church of the West. What do you mean by that?
Thanks for pausing to ask that. Okay, it's so good. The church, capital C church, represents what church looks like everywhere in the world. And if you can believe it, church in Latin America, Asia, Africa, Australia, South America, Europe, they all look very different.
Mm-hmm.
How they, what emphasis on faith they decide to really push changes. It changes. And obviously, for a lot of people that live in the United States, which we welcome people from all over the world, if this makes it there.
Mr. Worldwide.
Yes. But the way in which church looks, what's really emphasized within the church of the United States, mostly like United States and Canada.
So that's
Western
Church of the
Western
West. Okay.
Part of the actual globe.
Okay, cool.
I would consider that there's a culture within the church that's really heavily connected to things like politics that have these really hot button issues that if you bring it up, there's lots of perspectives that are very different. I feel like a black sheep within the Church of the West because the things that matter to me more aren't talked about as much from stage. And we'll talk more about that. But In a lot of ways, I feel like I'm having to navigate some of my disagreement with the common viewpoint, worldview of people who attend a church, an evangelical church today. I just perceive the way in which the Bible describes a follower of Jesus looking very different than what I'm seeing with my brothers and my sisters within the context of a church. And not one church in particular, but several denominations. And so there's so many things that we can unpack at some point. And we want to be a space for any perspective, anybody that has a very specific point of view. I don't want to diminish anybody else's point of view, but we will share our own experiences as feeling kind of out of place, not just because we really were just like naturally made to feel out of place all the time.
Yeah.
As human beings.
Yeah.
But also feeling out of place, even where within the context of the Christian culture. One of the things that I really like about the conversations that we've had leading up to our, you know, the launch of this cast. Ew, I'm not going to say cat.
I was going to let it slide.
No, I don't like it.
No,
I don't. It's too cool. And I'm not that cool. But here's the thing. Thank you. When you first came to Jesus, you actually didn't want to be described as a Christian because of kind of what I'm describing, like Christianese just felt like it didn't fit you.
Yeah.
But the Jesus of the Bible, that fit you.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I came to Christ to break out of an identity. I came to Christ to not try to continue to put myself in a box. Like, I came to Christ to literally be who I'm supposed to be through him.
Right.
And so I'm really careful about that. And I think it's something, too, that over time, I'm going to have a lot more peace with.
Yeah.
But because everything is so fresh and so new, I don't want to, like I said, create an identity as a Christian.
Right.
I want to love Jesus.
That's right.
I want to have a table like Jesus where everybody and anybody sat down. And, like, sometimes I think, too, that's, like, forgotten. Like, what did Jesus's table actually look like?
Come on.
It wasn't people in boxes with place cards of like this box here and then this one here. No, it was anybody and everybody. And it was people who were thirsty,
right?
Who were hungry.
That's right.
And for the first time probably ever felt like they just had a place at the table. So that's what I want. That's what I want to create here.
Mm-hmm.
And also why I came, like I did not come to Jesus to condemn. I did not come to Jesus to judge. Now more than ever, I know how unqualified I am to judge anyone.
Right.
But yeah, I can totally resonate with what you're saying because I feel like you experienced a lot of stuff firsthand And I experienced a lot of stuff like on the outside.
Right.
And so maybe we both are coming together in this season too to kind of like walk through it, around it, and then be like, okay, what is that? Like, where are we at?
Fit. How do we fit? And should we fit? Okay. And then the other really cool thing that I'm pumped about with these chats is that obviously I have a bit of an advantage with how much time I've read the Bible. I've talked to God. I've been in community with other people who believe what we believe that are spurring me on for, you know, to be more like him. I might have a few more years. And so there might be some opportunities that I get to what we would refer to as disciple you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Girl. Disciple would, it can be a transferable term for anything, but somebody who knows something, a lot of one thing, is teaching someone else to understand that too. And that's discipleship. It's just most commonly used within Christian you know, circles. So, but I also think that there's something really, really beautiful about being so fresh in your time with Jesus. And I believe that there's going to be some mutual discipleship that goes on. And I think I'm going to help educate you in some ways, and you are for sure going to help educate me in some ways to understand what's it like in this time. And this is a this is the scripture that people use all the time. It's like super overused, but it's talked about in the book of Esther. Esther was a queen, and there is, you know, one of the most common things that people quote from the book of Esther within the Bible is that she was designed to be a queen for such a time as this. There was a very specific purpose that God had.
That's really good.
Jesus,
I went not even into the scripture, and I'm like,
tell me, is that the first time you've heard that?
Well, I've heard of the book of Esther, but I've never read any of it.
So me saying for such a time as this is the first time you've heard it?
No.
I am.
I'm like Brian's job.
Out of my freaking seat.
Well, now we have to have a whole episode on
recession. How is this, y'all?
Okay, but keep going, because I was
making it.
That was good.
I think there's a really specific reason why the Lord, another term for God, the Lord specifically designed you to not meet him in the early 2000s. There was a reason why he didn't connect with you 10 years ago. There's a reason why he didn't connect with you in the way that you feel that the intimacy. Now, did he pursue you in that time? You better believe it. But he didn't help you awaken to your heart wasn't ready for him and for you to experience him until this time or such a time as this time. And I also think that when we accept the fact that we're within the constraint of this time, that he will reveal the things that he wants us to learn in this season right now. And so I think there's something really precious about you being fresh out the world that you were in.
As a baby.
Just a little
guy. Baby.
You're just a little baby. But you also bring some really cool perspective on a very common worldview that you came from as an agnostic. And I think you educating me and our audience and what is it like to love Jesus and love somebody from that perspective. I think there's a ministry there for you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
you're not gonna make me cry on episode one.
Yeah, I almost
don't do it.
Did.
Don't look.
I almost
don't look in my eyes. Well, I would cameo to that and say, if you are a baby believer, get you a Jess.
Oh.
Get you a and this was always like someone would say, it's my sister in Christ.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
what the heck does that mean?
It's weird. But now I'm like, this is my sister in Christ, because you really have been so sweet and so thoughtful in how you explain things. And I can also see a lot of his will getting fulfilled in you. And I don't even think you know it, because like your every day to day, moment to moment is like God's presence. And that's really powerful. It's also, I've always heard people talk about like when you have the Holy Spirit, which we're going to break down. We're going to do a whole episode on the Holy Trinity. You have a fragrance to you. And I remember like before I'd be like, these Christians and the fragrance and the blood and the thing, like I didn't get it. But now I totally get it, because even when I was brand new in this walk, every time I was around you, I was just like, you're like a magnet. And now I understand that's God's presence. That's God's presence. And so I'm so excited for you on the cast.
You had to.
I'm so excited for you on this podcast for everyone else to experience the little bit of what I have, which is a really, really beautiful gift that you have of how you interpret scripture, how you can make scripture make sense in a really like easy to apply way, but also just like your heart and like how that shines through. It's really, really beautiful. Like,
yeah, thanks.
I'm excited.
Me too. Pumped. And I, there'll be time where I'll endorse some really great Bible teachers that have taught me how to do this. Cause a lot of it is not, it's the influences that I've chose to help me understand the Bible. So I,
well, and you're going to get into your background.
Yeah. Yeah. But then also, one other added thing is there, certainly we're going to have deep chats on this, but we also have some passions aside from straight learning the Bible and understanding the Bible that we're going to get into too.
Yeah.
So there could be, you know, fun eps,
no
EPs.
Oh yeah.
Nope. That's not going to work. Huh? That word.
She keeps trying it on.
It's a trendy, which one fits. Some of our episodes are going to be a lot more cash.
Yeah.
You know, because you have a whole history of being in the health and fitness world that I think people would be really curious about. And
I'm literally Forrest Gump. I've been like 12 people by now.
Like, for real.
But I'm like, I like this one.
This one's going to fit.
This one's going to fit.
But yeah.
We're going to have really great guests.
Yes.
I'm very excited for some of the guests that we are going to bring on and have them share their testimonies and just really, really amazing stories too. So I think for me, what I'm and how probably like I want to end on this for me is it's really hard to put yourself out there. And as much as we sit here and we talk about how excited we are and like obviously how much fun, like even episode one, I'm like, I'm having a blast with you.
Yeah.
It's also not without coming with like, oh my gosh, are we really going to do this? Oh my gosh, am I going to put myself out there? Oh my, like there's so much human experience that is going on right now in us doing this together. It wasn't on my bingo card.
Nope.
I went,
well, not mine. I seriously thought like the time to start a podcast is over because there's too many of them.
Yeah.
It's just like we passed the opportunity to start one. So when the Lord put it on both of our hearts separately and then we came together and had one of those like saying the same thing at the same time.
We literally said,
start a podcast. Why did I feel like I had to say, I felt like we had to time that.
Yeah.
No, but like the fact that we're starting one in a time where it's like heavily saturated also feels kind of strange. But to me, I really feel like there's an audience of people that need someone else to tell them that you do belong.
Mm-hmm.
You are a good fit and you're a good fit to this really loving, wonderful God. And he created you the way that he created you for a purpose, on purpose. Felt like when he created you, he patted himself right on the back and thought, I made that one real good. And the world might tell you a completely different message. You don't have the body type. You're too much. You're not enough. You need to be looking a certain way and behaving a certain way. And believing the same things that we believe in. And I just want everybody to just go ahead and calm down and give themselves a beat, just a second, to know that at the very end of the day, you are loved deeply by the God that created you. He created you and he was like, yep. I hope that this space gives you a little chuckle. I hope that what we discuss is like thought-provoking for you. I hope it challenges your status quo because it will challenge both of ours. And I hope that after you finish listening to our conversations, that you feel a little less alone.
Yes. And that we're going to do it together.
Together.
Because there might be something going on in your life. God has put something on your heart. You're like, how can I put myself out there? How, right. Like, we're literally doing this together.
That's it.
And we're not claiming to at all have the answers.
You better believe we don't.
We all know. All know what we're doing. But we're doing it together. And that's something that feels good. And it's just good to have that space that we can share together. You want to close this out?
Let's pray. Let's pray it out.
Okay.
God, I thank you so much for our chance to capture this conversation. And we just welcome you to do whatever you want with the words that we've said. If there's anything in this conversation that we said that doesn't honor you and glorify you and help people understand you better, I pray that you make it really easy for people to forget it. And for the things that are clearly designed by you to minister to somebody, to encourage somebody, to challenge somebody, I pray that it just resonates, it echoes in their brain, and that you help these words that we've said and the way that we've described you and the way that we've talked to one another. I just pray that it just helps somebody feel like they're getting a spiritual hug right from you for your glory and for your purposes. And we just lift this time up to you. And we pray that people are, challenged and encouraged and want a deeper understanding of who you are in light of our conversation today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Black Sheeps, we love you. Thanks for listening.
Love you so much. Next time. Thank you so much for watching or listening to our podcast today, episode one.
We absolutely loved having a conversation with you guys. If you enjoyed the conversation just as much, make sure you send it to a friend, or we would love to hear from you on social media, which you can find us at Black Sheep Believers Podcast.
On Instagram, Facebook, YouTube. You can also find our videos. The whole conversation that we captured today is actually available on YouTube, and you can go to our YouTube channel, which is Black Sheep Believers, to check out clips of this and any other episode that we have live. So thanks again for joining us for today's episode, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, guys.